2 Kings chapter 8. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou can sojourn. For Jehovah hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose, and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household, and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years end, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick, and was told him, saying, The man of God has come here. And the king said unto Hazazel, Take a present in thine hand, and go and meet the man of God, and inquire of Jehovah by him, saying, Shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him, and said, Thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, Shall I recover of this disease? And Elisha said to him, Go say unto him, Thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, Jehovah hath showed me that he shall surely die. And he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed. And the man of God wept. And Hazael said, Why weepeth my lord? And he answered, Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children and rip up their women with child. And Hazael said, But what? Is thy servant a dog, that he should do this great thing? And Elisha answered, Jehovah has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. So he departed from Elisha, and came to his master, who said to him, What said Elisha to thee? And he answered, and he told me that thou should surely recover. Came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his stead. And in the 5th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Jehoram the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And he did evil in the sight of Jehovah. Yet, Yahovah would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake, as he promised him to give him always a light and to his children. In his days Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a kingdom over themselves. So Joram went over to Zaire and all the chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites which compassed him about, and the captains of the chariots and the people fled into their tents. Yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. Then Libnah revolted at the same time. And the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Joram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Ahaziah his son reigned in his stead. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, begin to reign. 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab, and did evil in the sight of Yahovah, as did the house of Ahab. For he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. And he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, and Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram. King Joram went back to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him at Ramah. When he fought against Hazael, king of Syria, and Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. 2 Kings chapter 9. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins, and take this box of oil in thine hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou come there, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in, and make him arise up from among his brethren, and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head, and say, thus saith Yahovah, I have anointed thee king over Israel, then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. When he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of all us? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, thus saith Yahovah, God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of Yahovah, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahovah at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. I would say, don't ever think for a moment that God will not take vengeance where needed. It says, vengeance is mine, saith Yahovah, I shall repay. And there's people that may do you and I hurt, and we're not to avenge ourselves. We're to forgive them. It's what God asks of us. And God will deal with these people. He'll deal with these evil rulers, these evil judges, even at the Supreme Court level. It's not going to buy them one drink of water in hell. No matter how rich you are, how famous you were, what position you had on this planet, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God. God knows how to get vengeance. And there's people with terrible disease out there. No healing's coming for them because they're under the judgment of God. Unless perhaps they repent and fell on the mercy of God. Who knows what God might do? But judgment is falling across the land, the nations, falling on geographical regions. It's about to fall in America. It'll fall in Bali before it's over with. We've got active volcanoes over here. Don't think anybody is going to escape the judgment of God. When we have idolatry in the land, murder the children, when there's sexual confusion, pedophilia, trafficking of women and children, we got all that in America. Abominations, taking children and castrating them. We say, God bless America. No, God's about ready to damn America to hell as a nation. But people can be saved. Individuals that will call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found and repent and turn from their wicked ways. Fall in the mercy of God. God can protect them even through the fire without burning. We're in some serious trouble, folks. We're on the precipice of nuclear, biological, and chemical attack. It's been seen. Civil war is coming. Red Dawn invasion. Economic collapse. It's even coming to Israel. There's end time prophecies. Woe be to those that give suck in those days. Or if your flight be on the Sabbath day. For such shall be tribulation such as never been seen before. Paraphrased. Some have said World War III has already started. I believe it. Things aren't going to go on as they've always went, folks. God will have his judgment. And he gives people long space and time to repent. That's called grace and mercy. There comes a time where the spirit leaves a body. Grace and mercy are off the table. Judgment has been determined. And judgment has been determined on the whole house of Ahab. It says, they shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel and the portion of Jezreel. And there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his lord, and one said unto him, Is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, Ye know the man and his communication. They said, It's false. Tell us now. And he said, Thus and thus spake he to me, saying, Thus saith Jehovah, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had kept Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him. When he fought with Hazael, king of Syria, and Jehu said, If it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go tell it in Jezreel. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there, and Hazaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman on the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came. He said, I see a company. And Joram said, Take a horseman and send to meet them, and let him say Is it peace? So there went one on horseback to meet him and said, Thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, The messenger came to them, but it cometh not again. Then he sent out a second on horseback, which came to them and said, Thus saith the king, Is it peace? And Jehu answered, What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, He came even unto them and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And Joram said, Make ready. And his chariot was made ready, and Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth the Jezreelite. It came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. And Joram turned his hands and fled, and said to Ahaziah, There is treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength, and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in the chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, Take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together against after Ahab his father, Jehovah laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith Jehovah. And I will requite thee in this plat, saith Jehovah. Now therefore take and cast him into that plat of ground according to the word of Jehovah. But when Ahaziah the king of Judah saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. And Jehu followed after him and said, Smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up of Tegur, which is by Iblim. And he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him to the chariot, in a chariot to Jerusalem, and buried him in the sepulchre with his fathers in the city of David. And in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. In other words, she put her makeup on. It said that makeup was taught mankind by the fallen angels, or so it's mentioned in the book of Enoch. Sounds very probable. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, Had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, Who is on my side? Who? And then looked out to him, two or three eunuchs. And he said, Throw her down. So they threw Jezebel down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, Go, see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of Jezebel than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, This is the word of Jehovah, which he spake by the servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung, upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. By Marty Wilde. Every time I read that verse, I have to play that song. Let me finish the story on Jensen Franklin. So my grandfather brought Jensen Franklin in to run a revival, and I think it was supposed to start Wednesday night and then run through Sunday. Of course, I'm going to the church at the time. My grandfather's pastoring, and I think I may have been 18, 19. Jensen came out, preached great. He played the saxophone. Then he had an altar call, and we didn't have a lot of people over there. I don't know if maybe there was 50 people. But I was one of them, and he had the altar call, and a couple of us youth, there wasn't a lot of us. There was a couple of us guys. We got up there, and I remember Jensen saying, I'm going to touch on you to fall backwards. Well, I didn't fall backwards. Thought that was odd. What was even stranger, if Jensen ever got to Sunday, he was already calling to get another appointment, and he got an invite to go up and speech at the big mega Church of God pastor, T.L. Lowry, with this massive mega church across the bridge right in there in Maryland. And Jensen came to my grandfather, said, Brother Weber, would it be all right if I... ended this revival, and I got an invite to go across the
90
bridge.
Seconds.
Now, my grandfather's a man of God. He's a gentleman. And, of course, he allowed Jensen to break his agreement. And instead of finishing the revival that he had committed to, he was going to be there 5 days, finish out on Sunday, he let Jensen go. But he wasn't happy about it, and I wouldn't have been happy either. Jensen thought that the church was too small.
60 seconds.
And he didn't want to miss his grand opportunity to go over there and preach at this mega church. Just shows you the character of some people. Now, I don't know that Jensen still is that way today. He was just young and immature. But it didn't sit well with my granddad. He was a bit offended, but yet he let Jensen go. Probably didn't voice that to him, but I remember it coming up in a conversation. And, you know, just some people that way. They're immature, and they're going for the numbers. And, of course, Jensen ended up doing a revival down in Beaufort Church of God. I remember that went every day for like 6 weeks. It became almost mythical. 6 weeks straight revival every night. And so many people were coming in that it was well known that he would probably go and start a church at that time, and some of the local pastors were afraid he would take some of the congregation with him, which he ended up doing, I'm sure. And someone funded him, and he started over in Gainesville. And they built a mega million-dollar church over there. It's very beautiful. And they've since, I think, launched multiple ones. They've got a church in L.A., and he's been quite, quote-unquote, successful. And I think he is a man of God, but I just mentioned that first-hand story to show you how people operate sometimes. And I'm not saying that he operates that today. You know, some 30 years later, whatever it's been now, probably 40 years, 35 years. But some people are about the numbers, and that was kind of rude. You know, if you got a commitment, you're going to preach Wednesday to Sunday, fulfill your commitment. Then you can schedule. You know, if it was meant to be, you're supposed to go over and speak for T.L. Lowry's church, and God could open that door. But, you know, that's just the way some people are. It's sad. But it's even in the church. Doesn't mean God's happy with it. There we are. True story. Okay. We're going to stop right there. Let me save this program. Coming up right now, Joseph Ferrara. Here we go. Stand by.